there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.
Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done
Lord.
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Are you ready for the season? In the church year, the season of Advent is nearly over. And the season of Christmas is about to begin. Christmas Eve is tomorrow. Can you believe it? Are you ready? Let me say what I'm really asking another way. Are you ready for a spiritual encounter? Are you angel ready? The Christmas story and the events leading up to it are filled with stories of encounters with angels. Angels appear to shepherds. Magi, Zechariah, who is John the Baptist's father, Joseph, the father of Jesus, and of course, Mary. What about you? Should you encounter an angel in the near future? Are you ready? Are you angel ready? Now you might be thinking, well, that's unlikely that I might encounter an angel in this Christmas season. Sure, angels appeared to people in the Bible, but does that really happen in our day? I must tell you that there are several in this parish, people I've talked to, who tell me that they believe they have seen or encountered angels. Various surveys have been done. In the United States, belief in angels runs somewhere about 80% of Americans believe in angels. Have you encountered an angel? I, in my own life, have sensed on a couple of occasions an exhilaration in my spirit that seemed to indicate the presence of an extraordinary heavenly being, perhaps an angel. It does happen. One of the most dramatic stories I have heard comes from a seminary professor, the one who taught the Doctor of Ministry course I took on Celtic Christianity last year on Holy Island. He described a special ecumenical day that he was part of planning. It took place at a large church in England, and inside this cathedral-like church, they set up various stations where people could move about from one station to another. And when the day came, there was present a church elder who my professor knew to be a very straight-laced, feet-on-the-ground, proper Scottish Presbyterian. He was the last person from whom you would expect anything out of the ordinary. As the day began, people were moving about the large church, going to the various stations, when suddenly this proper Presbyterian gentleman shouted in a loud voice, "Look, there are angels in here." And he pointed to the organ pipes. He says, "Look, there is an angel, and there And there, and he began pointing around the church, describing the angels he was seeing. And then he turned to my professor, and he said, "And you have a 10-foot-tall angel wearing a golden bulletproof vest." Well, this made quite an impression, as you might imagine. But this isn't the remarkable part of the story. The truly remarkable thing came years later, when my professor was in a town hundreds of miles away, and he entered a shop. And he walked into the shop. No one was in there except for the person behind the counter, and the man behind the counter's mouth dropped open, and he exclaimed, "Just look what you brought in here with you, a 10-foot-tall angel wearing a golden bulletproof vest." That is an unusual description of an angel. To be repeated that way years later, hundreds of miles from that location, is truly remarkable. Perhaps, like my professor, you have an angel with you, one that stays with you, one that's behind you this morning, all the while, and you never knew it. What would it be like to encounter an angel, to have a conversation with an angel, and to actually be told by that angel that something was about to happen to you? How would you be with that? What if that thing the angel told you that was about to happen to you meant that you would be subject to scorn, ridicule, and disgrace by your family, friends, and neighbors? How would you be with that? This is what Mary experienced. Mary is most likely a teenager, perhaps a young teenager of 15 years old. That was the typical age for betrothal for a first century Jewish woman. And as a young peasant Jewish girl, I wonder, did Mary have hopes, dreams for her life? What would happen? Did she have a dream? It was probably difficult for Mary to imagine anything very extraordinary for her life. She's probably just hoping for a typical life, getting married, having children, and a nice, stable family. How stunning it must have been to her when the Archangel Gabriel appeared, telling her that though she was a virgin, the power of the Almighty would overshadow her, and she would conceive and bear a child who would be called the Son of God. What would that have been like? Luke, who probably knows this story because he interviewed Mary years later about this, tells us that she was afraid and that she questioned. Undoubtedly, as Mary is working this out in her mind, she knows that it will mean public scorn and disgrace. She will be considered an adulteress. She will be the subject of town gossip. And she may be wondering, what will Joseph think? Will he believe her or not? Nevertheless, Mary came to accept the angel's message, eventually saying, "Let it be done to me as you say." I like to think that I would have the faith to have such a gracious, accepting, believing response to such a life-altering message from an angel, but I'm not so sure. Should an angel appear and begin speaking to me, I suspect I would be quite afraid, and I might very well question my sanity. What would you do? How would you react? As we consider Mary this morning, I find two clues about her. There are perhaps two characteristics of Mary that prepared her to have such an amazing response of faith. As her relative Elizabeth says in today's gospel reading, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her." So then let's consider two things about Mary that may have prepared her to respond in faith. First, Mary is reflective and thoughtful. Luke tells us that when Gabriel appeared and spoke to her, she puzzled, she pondered, she tried to reason out what he was saying. The Greek word used there is logizomai, and the lexicon offers the following possible translations: to discuss, to argue, consider, reason, wonder, question. That's what's going on inside of Mary as the angel is speaking to her. She's being thoughtful. In the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, we're told that when the shepherds came to the manger, saying angels had appeared to them, we're told that Mary treasured these things in her heart. Literally, she held them together in the core of her being, in her memory. Mary was thoughtful, reflective, not impulsive, not superficial. She takes things in. She reasons, ponders, thinks about things carefully and undoubtedly prayerfully. Even if her first emotions are fear and doubt when Gabriel appears, she doesn't run out and reject the message. She doesn't simply act in fear. She ponders. She comes to accept the word, even acting on it immediately, for the angel told her that Elizabeth was miraculously pregnant in her old age. So in today's gospel, Luke tells us Mary went with haste, immediately. Her faith springs into action, and she goes to see her relative Elizabeth, believing what the angel has told her. Mary was thoughtful. The second thing about Mary is that she was steeped in Scripture. Luke records this spontaneous outburst of prophetic praise. We call it the Magnificat, which comes from the Latin of the first words when Mary says, "Magnify the Lord, O my soul." In the Magnificat, it's found in the second half of today's gospel reading, there are numerous references to Scripture. The form of the Magnificat itself, the very form of it, echoes the prayer of Hannah, found in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And there are several phrases that quote or reference the Psalms, including Psalm 103, 34, 69, 9, 25, 44, 89, and 111. Mary uses wording similar to that found in Isaiah chapter 2, Zephaniah chapter 3, and Micah chapter 7. So what are we to make of this? Must it not mean that Mary knew the Scriptures very well? Perhaps we might surmise that what is in Mary's heart, that which she has been pondering and treasuring, are the words of the Scriptures. And as she bursts into spontaneous praise to God here, those Scriptures which she has treasured in her heart and thought over in her mind flow out in her prayer. Even as a woman who would not be educated in the way men were educated at this time, even still, Mary is memorizing, contemplating, remembering the Scriptures. Mary is a remarkable person of Scripture, a woman of the Word. And so here are two clues, two insights into Mary that might help us come to understand how this lowly peasant teenage Jewish girl could demonstrate such remarkable faith to believe, accept, and act upon the incredible message of the angel to her, a message that she must know will upend her life forever. And so today, we observe these two things about Mary. It seems she learned to prayerfully consider things, not acting impulsively or superficially listening. She took them in. She contemplated them. And Mary, it seems, was someone who spent time reflecting on God's word and Scripture. Mary was immersed in the worldview, the concepts, and the ways of God. She was not consumed with the challenges of life and the world around her so as to lose sight of the power of God. She had learned the stories of how God had acted in the lives of people in ages past. And so, she's better equipped to believe the angel Gabriel when he says to her, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary was angel ready. She wasn't expecting an angel to show up. She probably wasn't thinking she would have anything other than a routine, ordinary life. But then again, as a person of deep, thoughtful faith who pondered Scripture and the remarkable actions of God in the past, she knew with God, anything is possible. Mary was one of a kind. a special virtuous woman who found favor with God so that she was chosen to be the one to conceive and carry in her womb the Son of God, Emmanuel, the Messiah, the hope of the world, Jesus the Christ. Mary was one of a kind, but she was human, just like you and me. She was ordinary in many ways, socioeconomic status in life. So perhaps we too can learn from her and follow her example. Perhaps we too can learn more and more to take things in and ponder them deeply, prayerfully in our hearts. Perhaps we too can learn to not think superficially and act impulsively. Perhaps we too can learn to ponder the very real possibility that God is present all around us and ready to work in tangible ways in our lives. Might we also follow Mary's example in knowing, contemplating, reading, studying, taking in and pondering the scriptures. The scriptures can be such inspiration, such hope, such encouragement. We can find peace and joy for our lives in them. They can guide us in living, and in them we can hear the voice of God. God speaks to his people still through the scriptures. And by prayerfully seeking God in the scriptures each day, we can learn to think with a godly worldview. Learn to be alert to the possibilities of the spiritual realities all around us. Be attuned to the presence of God in our lives and be familiar with his ways. Perhaps this Christmas and on into the new year, even perhaps as a New Year's resolution, you might resolve to ponder God's wisdom by studying the Bible thoughtfully, prayerfully, reading it every day. Whether we ourselves encounter an angel or not, still, we will have gained so much in being contemplative and grounded in Scripture that we will grow in our life with God and grow in our imitation of Christ. And we will grow in learning the peace of God that passes all understanding in our lives, no matter what our circumstances. Mary probably never imagined that she would encounter an angel. And then that day came. We too don't know what God has in store for us in the year to come. But let us follow Mary's example in contemplation and learning the scriptures, and let us each, in this Christmas season and into the new year, become angel ready. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever.
Please stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God.